Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Welcome, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the information and the reports and the warnings of what I see coming upon the land. Brethren, again, here we are just a few days later since our last show. We keep shattering records every day, brethren, every day, whether it's in the stock market or the commodities market or with what's happening in the weather, with nature, with God's creation, there can be no doubt that God is trying to get our attention right now. And as a watchman, that's what I'm doing. My job is to bring you the warnings and the information so that you can prepare your families. Now, how much time do we have before the hammer really falls? The outer bands of the storm are upon the land right now. The wind is howling. It is increasing. God is trying to get our attention, brethren. He is trying. He wants to get your attention. Now, as you listen to these shows, folks, every one of you, I challenge you, when you hear me talk, don't just let the words go into your ears and then you forget about them 30 minutes later or an hour later. Folks, we are in dangerous, dangerous, dangerous times right now. God wants to wake every one of us up so that we can prepare. Here's the sad part. Unfortunately, a good portion of you that are listening to me speak right this very minute are not going to heed the warnings that I'm giving you. You're not going to listen to what I'm telling you. And in a few months, everything that you know as your regular American life, or if you happen to be listening in another part of the world, your regular life and everything that you took for granted is going to be turned upside down. Brethren, hear me. God is going to shake this world, not just America. He is shaking this entire world. It says in the Word of God that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. But first, judgment will begin in the house of God. He wants us to wake up because He doesn't want you to fall by the wayside. He doesn't want you to be counted as one of those that was recorded in the book of Revelation that said, and still they did not repent. Get your house in order, folks. Get it in order. The clock is ticking. The days are growing shorter. The day is coming when you will not be able to work at this. And if you're listening to me talk, there's no excuse. You cannot claim in 4 or 5 months when the cupboards are bare and there's no food to give to your kids, you will not be able to claim that you were ignorant and you did not know this was coming. Folks, listen to me. The day will come when ignorance will be fatal. You prepare, brethren. I challenge you. God has placed me in this office and God has led you to listen to these shows on the internet, or if they happen to be something a friend of yours gave you, God has led you. This was no accident you're listening to me. He's doing this because He loves you. He's doing this because He has compassion for you. The scripture is full of details on how God judges His people. Before He judges, brethren, always, 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 before He judges, He sends His messengers. And His messengers are His mouthpiece. And those messengers go out throughout the land trying to awaken the people, trying to warn the people. And they try. The majority of the time, though, sadly to say, the people mock and they scoff, or they just go back to sleep and calamity comes upon them without remedy. So, brethren, I can't stress it enough. Now, I hope that you are one of those called His remnant, because there is going to be a portion of people who do prepare. There is going to be a portion of people who hear the voice of God in their hearts and allow the light of God to shine within their hearts. The light is here. It wants to awaken every one of us. Be one of the remnant, brethren. Be in that group. The remnant will be under the wing of God. The remnant will be under the shelter of God. And it only comes through repentance. It only comes through seeking Him with all of your heart. So, brethren, I challenge you. Be that portion with God, the remnant. My last show was just a few days ago, and it was Friday, I believe. And on Friday, a barrel of oil closed at the highest increase ever on record. And now we're close to $140. I haven't looked at what it is today, but Friday it was close to $140. And over the weekend, I was getting some reports from different individuals from around the country. The news has made it official and declared it that finally, for the first time in history, a gallon of gas is over $4 at the pump. At the pump. So now people are spending close to $100 to fill their tanks, depending on the size of their vehicles. This is insane, brethren. It's insane. When is it going to stop? Who is going to put their finger in the hole of this leak? Who's going to stop this? Which man is going to stop this? Who's going to be the hero to bring an end to this misery? Who's going to do it? Brethren, let me tell you, no one's going to do it. The Lord God Almighty is causing this. This is His workings. It is to get our attention. This high gas that we have, brethren, is just one element in the judgment of God. And with this one element put together with all the other things that He is doing, God makes the perfect storm. God knows how to get our attention. Will He get your attention, though? That's the question. How many of you have been hearing the stories about the wild weather in the Midwest? I'm sure you've heard it. It's kind of hard not to. The storms in the Midwest are pounding the middle of the United States, brethren, with rain. They are exceeding records. Every day, the rivers are swelling and overflowing. Every day, dams and levees are breaking in the Midwest. And I ask you, how many of you have, up to this point, heard a news anchor say, "Folks, I know that this is not very conventional, but I must say it. This wild weather has to be the judgment of God. God's trying to get our attention." How many of you have heard a newsman say that? None. You know why? Because the book of Revelation says that no matter how bad it got on the earth, even when God shook the earth, the very earth, to its core, and allowed it to vibrate like a bell, even at that point, brethren, still the earth did not repent. Still, they continued their evil deeds. Still, they acted wickedly. Still, they were blind. Still, they were foul. Still, they did not repent. And right now, we see all these events going on in nature. God's breath is upon the winds, and He's causing these storms and allowing these storms, and still no one is repenting, brethren. They're not. Record tornadoes. We're on schedule to hit almost 2,000 tornadoes this year. A record. We average a little over 500 tornadoes a year. We're already over 1,200, and still they did not repent. We have whole towns being destroyed with swaths of tornadoes all over the Midwest. In my state here in Colorado, there was a town just 10 miles from here that got destroyed, or a portion of it did, Windsor, Colorado. And I drove through there over the weekend, 2 or 3 days ago, out of curiosity. And as I drove through there and I saw large oak trees that were twisted and snapped in half like they were just matchsticks, and as I looked at the power of what the wind did to warehouses and bank buildings and daycare centers and houses with their roofs torn off and flattened, as I looked at all this, I saw some destroyed cars. It was very sad, but it was also very sobering to see the power of God. And this power is being exhibited all throughout the land right now, brethren, in a tempest of deadly storms, in tornadoes all across the Midwest. From the bottom of the country to the top, we are seeing a record of storms, tornadoes. And now we have flooding. The ground is soaked, and still they're not repenting. Today in California, I was looking at the news. Governor Schwarzenegger, a few days ago, declared California in an official drought. And he said that if the people of California don't work together to lower their water consumption, then he's going to start rationing water. Water has not been rationed in the state of California in 160 years. And Arnold Schwarzenegger said he might have to do it. So we have California in a drought. They have no water. We have the Midwest underwater. Brethren, what's going on? It's the judgment of God. It is God trying to wake up His people. Why is God bringing drought to California, though? I ask, does anybody know? Why is that happening? Because of that drought, we can pretty much kiss the tomato crop goodbye in California. A lot of the farmers have already said they're going to write off their tomato crop because they're withering on the vine. There's not enough water for them. This winter in California that we just came out of was one of the driest on records. The rainfall in California last winter was only 1.2 inches for the winter. Now that's 22% of the average, and that's one of the lowest ever on record in 114 years in California. 114 years. Why is that happening? It's destroying their crops. It's causing fire hazards. Houses are going to burn. Why is that happening? I'll tell you why. It's the judgment of God. And also, by the way, side note, California is going to begin gay marriage ceremonies in another approximately 1 week. They announced that it was going to start on the 17th of this month, but they're so excited that I believe that they're going to move it back to the 16th, which would be this coming Monday. Gay marriage in California. It's being celebrated. They're parading in the streets that now they can do this. Civil unions for gay people, for homosexuals. Brethren, if you can, if it is even remotely possible for you, brethren, for anyone that lives in the state of California, I say this to you. Flee California. Get out of there. The judgment of God is going to come especially hard to that state, to your home, because your state is shaking its fist in the face of God. God will not be mocked. That's why there is drought in California. That's why your food is dying on the vine, because of this. And still, they did not repent. I saw a report that said Arnold Schwarzenegger declares war on the drought. Oh, really? Well, the drought is being caused by your own tolerance for sin, Mr. Schwarzenegger. It's being caused because the people in your state think that they can live any way they want without the commandments of God. But guess who has the last laugh, Mr. Schwarzenegger? And it's certainly not you. It's God Almighty, and He's going to judge your state. Brethren, if you live there and you can do it, get out of California. Those sound like radical words, but they're true words, brethren, because the hand of God is moving across the land. And some areas of the land are going to be smited down more harsher than others. They will. Now, I saw a report that the government of Canada has made it illegal for anyone to speak out against homosexuality. The thought police are out there, alive and well, front and center, and they've actually told a minister that he has to renounce his faith because he was talking down about homosexuality. Well, let me tell you something, people of the government. I'm going to proclaim the commandments of God, whether you want me to or not. You are not going to gag this watchman. And soon it's going to be illegal, even in this country, to talk against homosexuality. The thought police will be in this land. It is inevitable, brethren. The judgment of God also includes harsher legislation. Always. Always. In the Old Testament, when He allowed His people to be judged, and He allowed them to get invaded and taken slaves and prisoners, He raised up a king, an enemy to them, that was godless himself, but God used that enemy and that king to smite His own people, to teach them to come back and repent. And in our future, brethren, we are going to face a king that goes against the dictates of God. You will see that happen. You will see a leader rise up in this country that is against God and will legislate laws and rules that make it harder for you to practice your religion and your Christianity. You can bank on that happening, brethren. So soon it's going to be illegal to say that homosexuality is a sin and that sodomy is a sin. But will I stop? I will not stop. What am I supposed to do? Water down this message? Am I going to water it down like Joel Osteen did? Am I supposed to rip hell out of my Bible like Joel Osteen did and a lot of those megachurch false shepherds did? Am I going to do that? No, the commandments in my Bible were scribed with the hand of God Himself. I am not going to rip my pages out. Let it be known, I am not going to rip them out like some of these other false hirelings have. Now, it's sad to say Mr. Joel Osteen has ripped out some of the pages in his Bible, and we're not even under the dictates and mandates of the government telling us we can't talk about certain things. Brethren, look at the days we are living in. We have preachers and false shepherds who have watered down the message of God, the powerful message of the gospel. They have watered it down, and they have turned them into a bunch of motivational speeches that do not touch a man's heart, and they don't get rid of the dark stain of sin. All they do is allow a person to leave the church service with his ears tickled, feeling good, but not challenged with the sin and the stains that are in his soul. Brethren, it is time for the Elijahs of God to rise up. It's time for watchmen to rise up that are willing to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and to call sin, sin, to point their staff to the false shepherds, to the clouds that are without water, and say, "Enough is enough." And brethren, I declare, Elijahs are going to proclaim this. They're going to say, "Hey, pastor, are you the one that is troubling the land? God's judgment has arrived because the people tolerate too much. It has arrived because the people are not ashamed of their deeds. And worse, they haven't been taught how to be ashamed. The time of sorrows, brethren, the time of sorrows is here. And since the people no longer know how to weep and groan, God is going to smite this land with His staff and His rod of iron. The judgment to the nations has begun, brethren. Hide yourself in sackcloth and ashes, not Todd Bentley. We need more of Jesus and less building programs. Now, this is an amen or ouch message. Amen, brethren? But I tell you what, it's time for watchmen to rise up. And if some of you are listening to me and God has been dealing with you to be a watchman, or maybe you have been just tolerating your Christianity for a little bit too long, and you have been feeling the Spirit of God wooing you to wake you up, you've been feeling Him challenging you in a way that you've never felt before, I must say that there is a chance God is waking you up and raising you up to be a watchman for Him as well. So don't take it lightly. Receive His calling upon you. Receive it. God is going to raise up an army in these last days. We need an army of John the Baptist's to go out upon all the land and declare that the days of tolerating sin are over. We need John the Baptist's to rise up and declare that the Lord God is coming soon, and we need to repent. We need to get rid of the vices and the wastes that are in our lives. Hear me, brethren, if God is working on you, let Him work on you. Let Him work on you. I challenge you with that. It's not just you. It's not your imagination. He might be giving you dreams. He might be giving you visions. You might find yourself hungry for the things of God in a way that you have never, ever experienced in your whole life. You might be finding yourself with a word that burns in your bosom, with a word of warning, with concern, that you just have to tell everybody. You have to tell your family. You have to tell the people at work. You have to. This word burns, brethren, and when God calls you, you can't keep it inside. It will consume you. It wants to come out, the burning in your bosom. Brethren, receive the call if that's you. Well, praise God. I got off on a side note right there. But that's okay, right? That's okay. You want to be challenged, so you're hearing a challenging message right now. Now, where were we? Got off on a tangent there. Started preaching, brethren. I apologize that I preach. No, I don't. I do not apologize for preaching. Amen? We need more Holy Ghost preaching and less motivation. And we need more of Jesus and not more of the supernatural. We don't need more of Emma the Angel from Todd Bentley or the mess that's going on in Florida, that false deception delusion. We don't need that, brethren. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your prayer closet, where you meet God. You need to meet God where He is. You can meet Him in your own room, in your bedroom, in your living room, in your car. You don't need to drive to Lakeland, Florida and see a carnival. You don't need to go there and see a marked tattooed man. You don't, brethren. You do not. The power of God can meet you where you are. He can meet you right where you are, right now. I keep getting on a side note, brethren, and I tell you what. I tell you what, brethren. God is raising up voices, and the voice cannot be squelched. The lamp cannot be hidden under a bushel. When God fills your heart with His burning word, you cannot hide it, brethren. That's what it's about. The burning word. Get that word in your heart, brethren, and it'll come out. It'll leak out. It'll flow out. Glory to God. Okay. Let's move on. I'm going to have to make myself stop preaching for right now so that I can get to the rest of the message. So, we were studying the time of sorrows from the book of Matthew 24. Now, we have listened to part 1, and we've listened to part 2. Part 1 was real interesting, wasn't it, brethren? I wrote an article that coincided with 109 part 1. So, if you have the time, read that article and do a study on it, because truth is what we need right now. We need the truth. Okay, Matthew 24. By the way, I haven't said this yet, but get your Bibles, turn to the New Testament, and I also challenge you, brethren, get a pen and a paper. When we do our Bible studies, it's not just to listen and to hear and then walk away so that you forget it. Get a pen and a paper so that you can write notes, take notes, and you can remember. And then later on, you search the Scriptures, search everything that you hear me say, go over the verses that you heard me say, and you confirm with God and the Holy Spirit whether or not I'm telling you the truth. Okay? Don't listen to Nathan. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Spirit of God that's within your heart. That's what God gave you. I'm just a vessel and a voice. That's all I am. But you have the Word. All right? Now, Matthew 24 and verse 4 and 5. Now, we're in part 3, so I am almost sure that you've listened to part 1 and 2 because you are now in part 3. Unless you're starting on part 3 and you haven't heard the other ones, after you listen to this, go back and listen to the other ones, okay? Now, actually, I would say this, brethren. It would probably be better if you started at part 1 and then went to 2 and then come back to this one, unless you just can't help it because you're already halfway done and you don't want to stop. So, nevertheless, here we go. In Matthew 24, we were reading and studying about the time of sorrows. And in Matthew 24, quick review, Jesus spoke about the end of time in Matthew 24, and He gave a sermon, an Olivet Discourse is what they call it. He gave the timeline, He gave the events, He gave warnings, He gave the signs to look for. He laid it all out pretty much, brethren. He left nothing out. He did it all in one chapter of Matthew 24, and that's what we have been looking at, because in this day we are living in, there is no doubt, brethren, that the hand of God is in our time right now, in the world events. So, when people start asking the question, where are we in the timeline of Bible prophecy? As smart Bereans, what we must do is study the Scriptures, open up the Scriptures, and try to find out where we are in that timeline. And I have submitted to you this in my past shows and in articles. I've written this, brethren. But I submit to you that we are in the period of the time of sorrows. Let's go ahead and start reading there, Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now in part 1, in show 109 part 1, we talked about verse 4 and 5 about the deception of the time of sorrows. And then in the last show, 109 part 2, we talked about the wars and rumors of wars. And we also talked about famine. When you start hearing about famine and then you start looking at the events in the news, it can get pretty spooky. Because I've said this over and over and over, and I'll say it again, famine is coming to this land. Quick side note, I'll throw this in right now. Here we are, it's the middle of the week, June 11th, and the storms have not abated in the Midwest. They have not stopped. In my last show, 109 Part 2, I shared that the storms in the Midwest are going to play a role in the famine that's coming upon the land. And I still ascribe to that, brethren. I still believe that because the crops are underwater right now. They're underwater. They're mush. They're mud. They're done. And it is too late to replant a lot of those crops. Yesterday, on Tuesday, corn reached an all-time record high yesterday on the commodities market because of speculation that the corn crop is going to be severely affected by these storms. So already, some people are starting to wonder, and it's hitting the financial markets, but it hasn't hit the grocery store yet, so most people are not even thinking about it. But brethren, listen to this watchman. Here we are in June. The crop harvest will be in a few months toward the end of the summer, into the fall, and we will see food prices skyrocket then. So do everything you can now to get extra food, to get stores of food. Now, whether it's canned, whether it's dried, whatever means that you have of doing that, do it, brethren. Just do it. Believe me, brethren, your family will thank you. Your wife will thank you. Your mother, your father, your children will thank you. You will be a hero, brethren. So do it. Now, just that right there, famine. It can get very spooky, brethren, when you start thinking about how bad is it going to get, how bad will it get. Well, we don't know how bad it's going to be. All God is doing right now, and the most that I can tell you, is that God has just called me to warn and to tell you to do these things. That's all. I don't know every detail. I do have the burn of the word of what's coming, but as far as the exact detail, God doesn't give me that. He just gives me the big picture. Famine's coming. So what I do as a watchman, since in my spirit God reveals to me famine's coming, as a watchman and a person with common sense and a person that likes to learn, I get on the internet and I start paying attention to the news stories worldwide, and then I put that together with the warning from God, and it makes a picture that is hard to ignore and resist. So, brethren, I'm showing you the actual elements of how this is going to happen. It's going to happen because the gas prices are high. The truckers are going to no longer be able to deliver in the future when gas gets too outrageous. And the famine from the storms in the Midwest are also going to contribute. In addition to that, there are other factors that I have not discussed yet. But go to the previous show and you'll hear me talking about the bees. And there are some other factors that I probably will talk about in the future, but I can't go on talking about famine. So we need to move on. The hand of God is moving so incredible. It's very exciting. Now, in this show, I wanted to talk about what we see in verse 7. Matthew 24 and verse 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Now, we left off with the word famine again, like I said. So now let's talk about the word pestilence. We all know what that is. That means diseases, epidemics, plagues, sickness throughout the world. And Jesus said during the time of sorrows, we would also be seeing outbreaks of sickness and disease and epidemics. Now, it's real interesting that right now we have on the news a threat that we keep hearing about, and it gets on the headlines and it's talked about for a while, and then it gets thrown to the sidelines and we don't hear about it for a while. Now, that sickness happens to be the bird flu, the H5N1 bird flu that is in Asia, in China, that's in their chickens. And we keep hearing that it's going to reach our shores and infect our fowl, our chickens, and then eventually transmute into humans and then kill a lot of people. Now, whether or not an epidemic of the bird flu is going to happen, brethren, I have no idea. But Homeland Security keeps talking about it, and our federal government is very concerned about it. They seem to expect it to arrive. So it makes you wonder, do they really know something that we don't know, brethren? Now, in my other shows, I have submitted this to you. after the time of sorrows is over and we go into the tribulation period, we are going to see a world that is totally different than the world we live in now. It's going to be a world that is a dictatorship, a police state, where there are no more freedoms, and where death and mayhem will be the rule of the day. The book of Revelation says that 1/4 of the world will be killed. It talks about how many people are going to be killed. And there's fractions given in the book of Revelations on the high, high amount of humans that are going to be dying during this time. Very high numbers. We hear 1/4 dying. We hear 1/3 dying. So you take into account all of these fractions being killed by different means, by the sword, by war, by disease, by famine, by pestilence. And we have a formula in the makings for a lot of crazy stuff that's going to be happening during the tribulation. And what is going to cause all this? Is it just going to be regular news and information like we're hearing now? A story will pop up about some sickness that is killing people. You know, sometimes we picture the tribulation being like a movie where everybody that's on earth knows that it's the tribulation period. Well, brethren, I submit to you that during the tribulation period, most people will not know that we are in the tribulation period. That's why they're not repenting, because they don't know it's God doing it. They won't know. But the book of Daniel says in chapter 12 that the wise will understand, that they will know. So only a portion, and I believe that it's only going to be the remnant that really truly knows that the tribulation period is happening. In fact, the majority of the bench-warm, lukewarm church who are going to be filling the mega churches in all these carnival, charismatic-type atmospheres who do not know God, but they still go to church, these people are not even going to know that we're in the tribulation period. They'll be blind to it, but the remnant will know. So, brethren, when this sickness comes of the bird flu, or if it's an anthrax attack, maybe a mad doctor will open a vial up in the middle of an airport like we have seen in some movies in the past and infect everyone. There will be a lot of different ways that this can happen, but brethren, this is the bottom line. The powers of darkness are going to be working during this time, during the tribulation, when pestilence is happening. Now, the powers of darkness infect the minds of men. The powers of darkness are going to convince humans that it's okay to behead Christians and to kill Christians. And the rule of the day will be, get rid of those troublemakers. Get rid of those ones that talk about my lifestyle, my alternative lifestyle. I don't like them. They offend me. Get rid of those Christians that make fun of the revival services that we're having right now. Yeah, get rid of them. Send them away. Send them off. This preacher that I listen to is a good preacher, and we have that group of Christians over there that makes fun of my preachers. Yeah, get rid of them. They're useless eaters. Get rid of them. Cleanse the earth from them. At some point in the future, brethren, we're going to have human beings actually have such wicked satanic thoughts that have no more boundaries in them. They have no moral barometer, no moral compass. And those thoughts will include getting rid of people and killing them. Right now, there is a teaching that's being taught in colleges throughout this country that we're overpopulated. And there's actually some professors, in fact, in the University of Texas, there's a professor there who has said that we must depopulate the earth and get rid of the majority of the earth's population. Something to the tune of over 80 or 90% of the earth's population must die. He has filled auditoriums giving these theories out, and the students will stand up and give him standing ovations and clap when they hear him talk about this, about depopulating the earth. So, brethren, there are wild, crazy ideas out there that believe it's okay to kill human beings to get them off the earth because this earth is overpopulated. And if that's the case, if people really believe this, it is a very sobering thing to know that other humans that are not of God would actually have thoughts like this. But they do, brethren. They do. They believe that it's okay to depopulate the earth, and they believe that it's their duty to teach humanity that that would be a good thing. So what is it going to take for us to cross over that threshold, to cross the Rubicon of thought where it will be an accepted fact to call out the population? What will it take to get us past that? What event will take that, brethren? I have no idea, but I do know this. The plans of man are evil, and these plans have already been written. They're written, brethren. The depopulation of the earth has been written. So, getting back to what I was saying about the government knowing about the H5N1 virus arriving on our shores and infecting everybody, and they seem to really believe it's going to happen, it makes you wonder if they already have this disease in its most potent form in a vial somewhere, sitting in some laboratory. And when they are given the go-ahead at some point in the future, it will be released to the population. It makes you wonder. Now, that sounds like conspiracy theory, but I have read a lot of documents that point exactly to that fact. There are microbiologists that have worked for different agencies of the United States government that have actually worked on and created different strains and forms of very highly toxic, very highly dangerous diseases and viruses. Another thing that's very interesting is that in the last few years, this is a very interesting side note, there has been a story that keeps coming out on the news, and you can find it if you look on the internet, but what it basically says is that microbiologists from all around the world, from Russia, from China, from Asia, from Europe, from the United States, microbiologists have all been dying mysteriously in the last few years, over 100 of them. And these microbiologists will be found suicided, or we are told they committed suicide, but they were shot in the back of the head, or we find them in the trunk of a car, killed, or we find them sitting in their car at some parking lot at the store, and they tell their wife, I'm going to go to the store and get milk, and then they disappear for a few days, and then they find them in the parking lot, dead, murdered, or we find them in their house asphyxiated because they said they turned on their car and killed themselves, or they turned on their stove and gassed themselves out. But we have these microbiologists, brethren, that are all dying. In the last few years, a lot of them are dying. And these aren't just regular ones. These are microbiologists that work at the very highest levels of security clearance in a lot of different countries. These doctors, these microbiologists, are the highest intellectuals in their fields who work on the deadliest strains of viruses. Why are they all dying? Why are they all disappearing? Why are they committing suicide? It makes you wonder again, have they been commissioned to work on projects in a compartmentalized fashion where they just work on one portion of the project, but not the entire project, and then after they are done with the project they were working on, they mysteriously die? It makes you wonder if that's what's going on. The number of so many of them that are dying goes against statistical odds. It does not make sense. So, if that is happening and we see the time of sorrows having pestilence, let's just put it this way. Keep it to heart. We do not know what is going to happen in that category, but that is one thing that cannot be fought with bullets. A disease or a virus, we couldn't fight that with bullets. So the plans of man are very, very evil. And in fact, some of these things that are going to happen during the time of sorrows will not all be nature by itself. Some of them will be from evil men, because wars and rumors of war has to do with evil men, not nature. So during the time of sorrows, we can expect to see diseases happen. Now, after pestilence, it says, and earthquakes in various places. Earthquakes. Now, if you've been listening to the news, in the last 1 or 2 months, we have had so many earthquakes that it's just amazing how many have been happening across this very country. Example, off the coast of Oregon, in the Pacific Northwest, there has been a swarm of earthquakes happen in the last month. Actually, it's a little more than a month. Over 600 earthquakes were reported off of the coast of Oregon, out in the Pacific Ocean. Now, seismologists and geologists don't understand why that's happening out there, because they say usually that's a sign that a volcano is going to erupt nearby, but they don't know what to make of it because it's pretty far from some of the volcanoes that have been active recently or in the past off the coast of Oregon. Mount St. Helens, it's a little bit far away from that one, so they can't figure it out, but there's been a swarm of earthquakes off the coast of Oregon. In addition to that, there's been a swarm of earthquakes in Reno for the past couple of months. They have felt over 1,000 earthquakes in the last month. If anyone listening is from Reno, you might know that to be true. There's a lot of shaking going on where you live, and the scientists have no idea what's causing it. Is this a sign of the big one that is coming? They don't know. But that's been going on. A string of tremors rattling Reno. It's causing the downtown high-rises there to sway and to knock items off of the walls and shelves. Now, there hasn't been any injuries as of yet in the Reno area, but these things are going on. In addition to that, in the last couple of months, we had an earthquake go off in the Midwest, and it was felt from Kansas all the way to Georgia. It was a 5.2. That's really interesting. They said it was in the area of the New Madrid Fault that's in the Midwest. So that one's real interesting, too. So we have earthquakes going on in the United States. In addition to that, brethren, aside from that, off the shores of the United States, we have earthquakes going on in South America. In Colombia, there was just one a few weeks ago that killed several people, not only in our part of the world, but let's not forget the big whopper that the world just saw recently, the one in China that has killed tens of thousands of people. That one was a whopper. That one's a very sad one. I posted some pictures of that on the website, and it was just very sad to see all of the people wailing and crying. That one first came out, I was looking at the photographs, and they were hard to look at. And I remember when I was looking at them, I was getting sadder and sadder, and then I came across some pictures of actual children that had died, and the mothers are holding their children in their arms, and they're just wailing. And I remember tearing up, and actually, as I was looking at those photographs, I said, God, why? Why is this happening? And I just kept looking through them and scrolling through the pictures, and I was asking God, why? I found myself just questioning God, but that's all I could say. And then I told God, I said to him, God, they're just children. Why does this? They're innocent. They're just kids. They're babies. Look at this. And the voice of God spoke to me, brethren. It was a small, still voice that spoke to me, but the word of God came to me, and the still, small voice of God said, the time of sorrows means sorrow. And after the Lord told me that, it was very sobering, because I sat there and kept looking at it. And you know, I have always read these verses in the scriptures. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But I never really associated it with the horrible, painful pictures that I saw from the people in China. I never associated sorrow with grief, with human grief. I guess in the past I associated sorrow with just the earth is in sorrow. The earth wants to be redeemed. That's how I was looking at it. But when I saw this and God opened my eyes to this, it really made an impact, because what it showed me was that sorrow is grief. Sorrow means dead people. Sorrow means dead family members and loved ones that will perish. And if we are indeed in these times, brethren, that means that we may see sorrow ourselves. That means that sorrow might visit us in our town or in our city. It indeed very well could, brethren. Sorrow. Are you ready to face that? If sorrow came to your town in the form of a storm that was unexpected and came upon you like a swift wind, how could we expect it? We never can. We're never prepared for anything like that. So in these days, brethren, we need to try our best to hide ourselves in the arms of Jesus, to hide ourselves under the shelter of His wing. We cannot depend on our wealth, on our riches, or on what we've accomplished in this world. Without Him, we can do nothing, brethren. So sorrow is going to visit this land, and it is indeed visiting this land right now, brethren. It's happening right now. In the Midwest, I was seeing a report, 3 states under the state of emergency. A lot of Indiana, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota. It goes on and on and on. There are lakes and streams. There's a lot of sorrow going on in the Midwest. And then all those tornadoes that have been hitting a large portion of the country. From east to west, brethren, we had tornadoes last week in Washington, D.C., at the very coast, at the very eastern shore of our country. And then on the western shore, we have drought going on. Lack of water, food dying on the vine. Every part of our country, brethren, is not going to be without the judgment of God. So sorrow is indeed where we are. Strengthen yourself, brethren. Strengthen yourself. You know, if you've been on my website, there is a word that God gave me, and I shared this on another broadcast. You might have even read it by now, but it was a word where God told me that the judgment has begun in the land. God is going to judge this land. And God gave the list of things that He's going to do to this land. He's going to poison the waters of this land. People are going to be standing in line for food. There's going to be famine. People are going to be living in their cars. There's going to be earthquakes. And there's going to be a tempest of deadly storms. And that portion of the word that God gave me, He gave it to me in April. And since that word came out, we have been seeing record storms, flooding, tornadoes. And a couple of weeks ago, actually it wasn't even a couple of weeks, it was about a week ago, I was looking at some of the stories on the internet, looking at the stories of the tornadoes and the crazy weather. And as I was looking at them, I was just nodding my head and shaking my head. And my wife was sitting next to me, and so was my son. Because I gathered the family and I told them, look at these storms that are happening. Because I was showing them that this is confirming the word that God gave, that He's sending deadly storms. So as I was looking at these news reports, I was asking my wife, how come no one's mentioning God? Why isn't anybody saying this has to be God trying to get our attention? I'm not hearing it. And of course, we never would, because we're in a secular world. But I still had to ask. And as I was looking at the pictures of the tornadoes, I remember looking to my wife and saying, you know, this is God. There is no doubt about it, but this is God. And we were looking at the picture of a huge tornado that was just spinning in the Midwest. It was a news story. And I said, can there be any doubt that this is God? I said that out loud, verbally. I was asking my wife and my son. My 15-year-old son was sitting next to me. And I said, can there be any doubt that this is God? And I looked over to the family. And right after I said that, it was just rolling off my lips. Can there be any doubt that this is God? It was about 10 o'clock at night, so it was dark outside. And when the word God came off my lips, the windows lit up. We have two windows here where my office area is. There was two windows that lit up outside, and it was as bright as an arc welder. That's how bright it was outside. The blinds were totally white, almost a white-hot light lit up in our windows. So outside, it was lightning. That's what was happening. But it was so hot that it seemed to happen right in our front yard. That's how bright it was. So my wife ran over to the front door, and when she opened the front door, she was met with the loudest explosion of thunder I have ever heard in my life. It seemed to be exploding in our front yard. It was so loud. I have never heard it that loud in my life. And usually when you hear thunder, you'll hear it do it in a clap form, like your hands clapping, and maybe a little rumble after that. Well, when she opened the front door and the thunder erupted, it stayed erupting. It stayed at the peak of eruption, at the apex of decibels, for 10 seconds, brethren. That long. Our whole house shook. My little boy, he started crying. My dog started barking. It was incredible, the power of this thunder. And immediately I thought to myself, oh no, there's a thunderstorm over our house. I need to unplug my computer, because I do that now ever since thunder fried one of my computers. So I told everyone, unplug, unplug. So I went and unplugged my desktop. I powered down everything because there was a storm right over us. So after everything was unplugged, it took 15 seconds. And my wife standing at the door, and there was no more thunder. So I said, well, where's the rest of the thunder? And there was no thunder. So I opened my laptop up, and I have wireless satellite laptop, so I can get online with my laptop. So I went to the local weather website that I use to look at the radar. Whenever there's storms over us, I like to look at the radar to see any of the thunderheads or cells are over our house, because I want to see the direction they're going. And then you can kind of calculate how long till it's past your house, and then you can turn on your computer. So that's what I was doing. So I got online with my laptop. This is all happening within about 30 seconds. So I turn on my laptop. My wife's at the front door where the thunder just exploded. The computer's unplugged. And when I logged on to the local Doppler radar and I looked at our town, the Doppler showed no clouds over us. There was no rain over us. There was no storm over us. There was nothing. And I looked outside and I said, where's the thunderstorm? And my wife said, there's no clouds above us. I can see the sky. Stars. So we looked at each other at that point, and my son's looking at me, and the first thing that my son said was, can I go ask the neighbors if they heard that? Or was that just us that heard it? That's what we were actually wondering, because it was so dramatic, brethren. It was so incredible. It was so powerful the way all this happened. I was saying that this has to be God that was causing all these storms, and God answered us with an explosion of lightning in our front yard. And he exploded thunder right over our house that lasted 10 seconds, that shook our house. I've never seen anything like that in my life, brethren. Now, I know the scoffers and the doubters out there would say, that wasn't God. How do you know that was God? That was just thunder. That's okay. You can say that. But since that has happened, brethren, in fact, this morning, I was talking to God, and I was asking him. I asked him, I said, God, was that you? When the thunder erupted, was that you? And God told me in my spirit, yes, it was. I was letting you know that I mean business. I'm almighty. I'm powerful. So I said, okay, yes, Lord. I believe you. You are powerful. And I told my wife what God revealed to me. Yes, that was him. So God is powerful, brethren. And in these days that we are living right now, he wants to get our attention, brethren. Unfortunately, the heart of man is dark, and it's crusty, and it's full of sin, and it cannot hear the voice of God. So God uses nature to get man's attention, or to at least try to get man's attention, and then he will put his word in his servants, the messengers, the watchmen, the prophets. God will tell them to go tell the people. So the watchmen and the prophets are being raised up today, brethren. They are being raised up to spread and proclaim the word that God's visitation is here. The time of sorrows means sadness, brethren. It means mourning. It means heaviness. The time of sorrows does not mean diamonds from heaven. The time of sorrows does not mean gold dust from heaven. It's a very serious time, brethren. Now, in Matthew 24, we just read all the different bullet points that are mentioned there. Now, is that all the bullet points or events that could be happening during the time of sorrows? No. There are two more elements that are mentioned to happen during the time of sorrows, but they were not recorded in Matthew 24. Instead, they were recorded by Luke. And if you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 21... In fact, go ahead and turn there, brethren. It's very interesting how the Gospels parallel each other and harmonize with one another, and sometimes the same event will be recorded by two different authors, Gospel writers, and one Gospel writer will mention one event but leave out another, but the other Gospel writer will fill that part in. So together we can see a complete picture, and that's what we see happening here. As far as the Olivet Discourse or the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus spoke about the end times. So, let's turn to Luke 21. Time of Sorrows is mentioned in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 8 through 11. So let's look at verse 11, brethren, and we can continue. There's two more elements I want to bring forward. Now, as we read verse 11, it says, there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now, we just touched earthquakes. We read about that one. And we also read about famines. We read about pestilences. And then look at the next one. And there will be fearful sights. What is a fearful sight? Well, in order to get to the truth about any part of Scripture, brethren, we have to do a word study. We must always do word studies to get to the original meaning of a word. If we just read it in their English, sometimes we may be selling ourselves short or doing ourselves a disservice because we will not get to the deepest meaning of what the word meant. So in this case, fearful sights, let's look at the original meaning. Now, I went ahead and looked it up in the concordance, and the word fearful sights comes from the Greek word phobetron. Now, looking at that original Greek word, that word means that which strikes terror or an actual terror, a terror. So fearful sights, according to the concordance, and you can look it up yourself, brethren, it's right there. And look what it says, if you have a chance to do it. It says, a terror is what fearful sights means, or that which strikes terror. Now that's very, very interesting. The time of sorrows actually, think about that, brethren, the time of sorrows actually has the word terror in it. Terror, that which strikes a terror. Right now we have the war on terror. So, does this actually mean terrorism? Is that what Jesus was trying to tell us? Because the original Greek word does say that which strikes a terror or an actual terror. So, quite possibly it could be, brethren. I would not put it past that. We cannot dismiss that. And if that's the case, though, even if it's not terrorism, that which strikes a terror, the other meaning, could fall under the category of terrorism. So, what does that mean? How could that happen during the time of sorrows? Now, brethren, I submit this to you. If we are in the time of sorrows right now we're seeing famine in other countries, and we have the threat of famine here. We also have earthquakes happening. That one's easy. That's going on. The volcanoes are erupting. We have had a high number of volcanoes erupting in the last few months, brethren. The one down in Chaitén, Chile. In addition to that, we've had eruptions all up and down South America. And in Central America, we also have volcanoes erupting. And also, Indonesia has four going off. Mount Etna, Italy, is erupting. Krakatoa has been spewing fireballs out. In Russia, it's erupting. Alaska, Hawaii. The interesting thing about the Chile one was they said that one had been dormant. I saw two different reports. One said 4,000 years, and another one said 10,000 years. So this was what I was getting at. If we're in the time of sorrows and the earth is rumbling, then we can expect the other pieces to fit, which would be pestilence, disease, plagues, wars. That one's happening. Rumors of wars are happening. So it seems like half of the ingredients that make up the time of sorrows have been thrown into the soup. Pestilence, that one hasn't been thrown in yet, but we can expect that one to happen if we're in the time of sorrows. And also we can expect famine. The writing's on the wall for that one. That one started. We just haven't realized that one yet. Okay, so then we have that one. And then fearful sights. Terror. Terrorism. Terrorism is actually going on in different parts of the world already. It is, brethren. It's happening in Israel, in Iraq, in the Middle East. We have Muslims doing their crazy stuff. The assassins, the murderers. So, brethren, this is what I have to submit to you. It is indeed possible that if the time of sorrows has terrorism, that we can expect terrorism in a much higher scale to happen, even on our shores. We can expect that to happen, and it's real interesting that there have been rumors that some Muslim groups have snuck into the United States sleeper cells, and they're just waiting to be told, to be awakened, and they have actually smuggled in their weapons of mass destruction. In fact, Al-Qaeda last week supposedly made a report that said new terror attacks are coming to the world, and this time they're going to be WMDs. They're going to be in the form of biological weapons or chemical weapons or even nuclear weapons. Nevertheless, this rumor about suitcase nuclear bombs that have been smuggled into the country is a very sobering report, God forbid. But the rumor that I have even heard, and these are from people in high levels of government that have been on interviews, and they have said that there are actually 7 or 8 nuclear suitcase bombs that might be in the United States already. Also, the rumor says that 7 to 8 cities in the United States could be targeted for suitcase nuclear bomb attacks. So that's a very, very sobering threat that we have there, but that would indeed fall under the category and fulfill what Jesus is talking about here. In the time of sorrows, we cannot cross out terrorism because it does fit, and it's scripture. Now, last but not least, we have another word mentioned right here in Luke 21:11. And there will be fearful sights, and then look at the next one. It says, and great signs from heaven. What could that be? Now, I looked at the original words in the Greek of great signs from heaven. Now, the word great signs means actually that. Great signs, or incredible signs, or prodigies, or things to get your attention. Signs to get your attention. So, basically, great signs means great signs. That's a very good translation for that word. But for the word heaven, it could mean one of three things. The first one means heaven where God dwells. So to interpret that as there will be great signs up in heaven where God dwells, well, that wouldn't really communicate to us that it's a time of sorrows because we can't see where God dwells. So that one doesn't really apply. The other meaning was the universe, where the planets and the stars are, the constellations, our solar system. Now that one's interesting. It could mean that. And then another meaning said the air over the earth, the sky, which would mean up to the level of the clouds, because past the clouds, we start getting out into the universe and space. So it could mean either. It could mean the sky or out in space. And either one of them actually fits, because there will be great signs in heaven. Now let's talk about the universe, heaven. In my other shows, I have established and submitted to you that during the first advent, the historical events that happened are going to repeat themselves somewhat in the second advent when Jesus comes again. Now what that means is that some of the ways that people acted, some of the ways that people responded, and some of the mistakes that humans made, the people of God, during the first advent will be repeated. Now, during the first advent, regarding signs in the heavens, do we see any signs that did happen in the heavens in the first advent? Of course we did. We saw the Star of Bethlehem. That was in the heavens. Now, while we cannot accurately pinpoint exactly what the Star of Bethlehem was, we can make some speculation using common sense and scripture, because the wise men from the east were able to see it from such a long way off. Could have been a comet, possibly. A comet that was on orbit and passing through the earth for a season. Could have been that, but it got these people's attention, the wise men. So, Jesus says there will be signs in the heavens, so there could actually be, once again, visible signs in the night sky. So that's something to consider and actually watch for. Now, in addition to the night sky, that also means that we could possibly see maybe the sun acting in an odd way, in a way that is anomalous, that's not normal. Or we could actually see things happening on planets here in our solar system that are anomalous and not normal. So that is another thing to consider, brethren, because it says signs in the heavens. So no matter what it may be in the heavens, we cannot discount any of them. Also, let's bring it a little bit closer. The sky above the earth, signs in the sky, in the clouds. What could that be categorized under? I would say a variety of things there, but let me throw some out. Could it be actual wild weather? Would that qualify? Hurricanes? Deadly hurricanes? Tornadoes? Weather events that are very powerful? That's one possibility. There's another one I want to throw out to you, and this one actually is the one that's the oddest and the one that seems the most outlandish. However, we cannot discount it, and that would be this. There has been a massive amount of UFO sightings recently, brethren, and they are not abating. They're not going away. So it's very interesting that people from all over the world are seeing UFOs. They're seeing these interesting crafts, and they make maneuvers that seem to go against the law of aerodynamics as we know it. Recently, we had some sightings in Texas and Arizona. In different parts of the country, UFOs have been sighted. Very interesting. We cannot discount every one of them, because we're actually having airline pilots seeing these craft. We're having police officers and sheriffs and deputies. People who really have no reason to make this kind of thing up and actually take a chance by telling these stories because of the threat of mocking from the public. So we have a lot of individuals that are seeing UFOs. Is that what Jesus was talking about? I would just say this. We cannot dismiss what's going on in that category. And the reason that we can't dismiss it is because of this. it is quite possible that what we are seeing or what is being filmed are actually not aliens. Now, first of all, let me say this, brethren. I don't believe in aliens from other planets or galaxies. But I do believe that people are seeing something. So I believe that these UFO craft might well indeed be imposters that are fallen angels, demonic forces that are able to morph themselves and make themselves glow to look like UFOs of some sort, because they always seem transparent. And there have been reports of people who do see these crafts who testify that they also smelled a very strong sulfur when they saw these crafts. Some people that have been abducted and seen these actual aliens personally up front have reported that there was a stench. It smelled like rotten eggs, sulfur. So that is a telling signal right there that these alien beings, whether they call themselves reptilians or grays, and they say that they're friendly. Brethren, I believe that possibly what we're really witnessing in that category are actual demonic forces. Those are demons. But Jesus did say that there would be signs in the heavens, fearful sights. Nevertheless, if people saw something like this in the sky, it could be very, very fearful. It would be a very fearful sight. It would fall under that category, a fearful sight in the heavens. So these elements that I mentioned here in Luke, brethren, have the jury out on them still. It could be a number of things, but I'm just throwing all these out to you because you need to know that the Bible mentions fearful sights that could be terrorism or strike terror in hearts, and you need to know that the Bible does say signs in the heavens. So those are the elements of the time of sorrows, brethren. I know I took a long time. I took a much longer amount of time than I had anticipated. So thanks for listening. That wraps up the summary of the time of sorrows. Again, brethren, take these matters to God. You pray about them. And the challenges that I did leave you with, brethren, be challenged with those. Prepare your family. Prepare your hearts. Get right with God. Weigh your lives in the balance. Don't be found wanting in God's eyes. Okay, brethren? I love you, brethren. That's why I'm doing this. So we'll see you next time. God bless you.